The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
As we get into our conversations this morning. So, as a good teacher, we give homework.
That's right.
I pull the mic a little closer to you.
Sure. Good morning.
No, you can pull it.
Pull it. Okay.
Yeah, I could come
right
to you.
Right.
As a, you know, I ain't going to beat up on you and put you, make you write lines. But, okay, you know, what's the consensus? Have you heard anything from tutor or with the government as relates to the laptops for these students? They have not received any.
No, not up to now. And of course, they were promised at the end of September to begin to roll out. And good morning, of course, to you, and good morning to your listenership. So that we wait with regards to the word from the minister concerning the rollout of the laptops. We understand that they're going to be rolled out in phases, so that they won't all be coming all at once, 18,000 of them, but in phases. But we wait. Now is the 22nd of the month of October. We anxiously await the outcome of when the rollout will commence.
Well, all right. So we had the budget being read again. Right. The education ministry getting a sizable chunk.
Correct.
Even if it's not just a couple millions more.
Right.
Than the allocations this year. You know, anything as it relates to schools, office furniture. Were there any improvements during the term? Has Vesiny School been reopened?
Yeah. Well, as far as I'm aware, all the schools are up and running up to this time, or most of the schools are up and running. The issue with regards to Southeast Port Espirin, the furniture has been solved. Of course, the school is now on a regular rotation basis. In other words, all the classes are up and running and functional.
So it's not no longer a shift system?
No longer a shift system. And of course, we continue to monitor because, of course, when we came out into the 8th of September, most of the schools were opened, and of course, we applaud the government for the fantastic job that they have done. 279 schools were repaired during the vacation repair program, and we applauded them for that. There'll be, of course, obviously, there'll be issues and situations taking place ongoing, and we hope that the government, through MTS and EFPPD, can be able to work on those issues on an ongoing basis without any disruption to classes.
Well, we are well into the term.
Right.
This is by no stretch of your wireless email. This is the longest term for the education year for students.
Yeah.
This is the first term, and it spans over
14
weeks.
14 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just about that. So yeah, as we are approaching the end, or midway, just over mid-mark,
just about, yeah,
in the term, how has the NPTA feeling now that police officers are stationed at the school? The thoughts, results, was it able to curtail some of the violence? What is happening on the ground?
Well, we have not been able to do a full assessment because we consider it early days yet, just about a month plus a few weeks. But we are not seeing the requisite results we anticipated with the police in our schools. Because when we applauded and commended and endorsed the police in schools, we thought that there would be a substantial reduction, not an eradication, but a substantial reduction in the instances of school violence. This has not, unfortunately, taken place. We continue to see, even with schools that have the police presence, even in schools where there is police presence, there continues to be school indiscipline and school violence. So we need to monitor, or probably go back to the drawing board and see how we can tweak and ensure that it is foolproof to be able to ensure that we get a reduction that we need in our schools when it comes to school discipline and school violence.
One of the things I am looking at, I will be very honest, I have not seen that much videos.
Okay. Yeah.
In my respect,
it doesn't
opinion
mean that it's not happening. Probably you're not seeing the frequency with regards to the videos. But reports reaching my desk have indicated that there are still a number of brawls, let me use the word brawls, in our schools, in and out of schools, because sometimes if they're not taking place in the schools, they're on the streets taking place.
Well, wow. Yeah. I felt a sense of ease.
Yeah.
Now, as you mentioned, I'm not saying that the brawls are not happening.
Right.
They are. We saw one recently where police officers had to run in.
Yes.
And literally, yeah, boy.
Yeah, like
two bag of flour,
boy. Exactly, yeah,
two,
yeah.
Like a rag doll, shake
right,
them up.
Right.
And I mean,
yeah.
I applaud the police
officers for the
way in which he handled it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I saw an MTS officer running belly first
right
into the situation.
Right,
I don't know
right,
what he
right
was going to do, but I saw the police officers handling of the matter.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it showed me, can we look at, because before I get to that point,
sure,
to me, and I just quote in a figure, I could be wrong, maybe 45% reduction.
Right.
in the school
that's,
violence.
Well, that is the, well, and that's a very good figure to work with in terms of, let's look at also, I have no data as yet, and I'm working on the data to see what this suspension list is, because you are aware over 3 years ago, 22 to 25, 21,000 suspensions.
Oh, sorry, yeah, 21,000.
Right. So I'm looking, we are looking at the data, we're trying to get the data to understand what has been taking place from September 8th to present, and of course, for the entire term. Let's look and see what the figures are to see if there has been that requisite reduction that we all are anxiously looking forward to.
No, we wouldn't get it foolproof.
No, definitely.
Perfection do exist.
So eradication, but at least some reduction.
We will see that.
Yeah.
We will see a reduction, a reduce in these infractions certainly and infringements. And you mentioned suspension, because I had it in my mind to talk to you about,
sure,
and you mentioned it. We have no data right now to tell us what the suspension figures are
from this term,
but you're saying that what is reaching your desk is that these brawls continue.
Is it
can one say that it continues unabated? Is it relentless? Is it are you at least seeing 15% or 32% reduce in violence? Is the police on it?
Right.
What is happening?
When you compare to what has been taking place, let's say over the past year, there has been thankfully a reduction in the frequency and the instances of school violence taking place. But it is not, in my humble view, at the rate at which you wanted to see it with the presence and the installation of the police officers in our schools.
But then, could it be the placement? So,
right,
how many officers are assigned to a school? Are you aware?
Right. We are aware that two officers, there was about 100 officers who were trained. So about 50 schools and about two officers per school. So you are correct, because there are schools, you have been reading in the newspaper, that did not have the police presence. And we thought that they were in dire need. In other words, when you make your list, and we have no control over the list, when you make your list and you see that this school was not on the list, you wonder why. Because this school would have had instances of school violence, school indiscipline, even gun violence as well outside the precincts of the school.
Drug violence.
Correct, exactly.
Drug trafficking.
So you wonder, what was the criteria really, and why wasn't this particular school placed on the list? Case in point, we also have the Arima North secondary.
Arima North, that
correct.
Came to mind. That
exactly,
came to mind.
Exactly, exactly. So that was not on the list. So that there needs to be a review of the schools that are on the list and see how we can now increase the number of schools in order to get the required reduction that we so look forward to.
But that being said, the position of firearms with officers in school, do you think this could be revisited as a deterrent maybe to students, the police coming in tactical wear?
Right. Well, there was a back and forth with that when we started the program early in September. And the final analysis, I think through DCP Benjamin, we agreed that in certain schools, there would be the need to have lethal on your police officers, because you don't want anything to happen, God forbid, and then you are now clamoring, looking for lethal. So that in certain high-risk schools, high-risk schools, let me use that terminology, we want to have the police officers armed, so that if anything happens in the precincts or in the school, they can readily be able to adapt to the situation.
One has to understand that these firearms are part of their uniform. It's like a soldier going out without his galil.
Exactly.
So a sidearm, a firearm, it is part of the uniform of police officers,
correct,
even in community policing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they are still a police officer.
That's correct. And DCP Benjamin did make that point very forcibly. It's like me going to work without a pen, for example.
Exactly.
You have to be armed. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I don't need a pen. I'm just doing computer work.
Exactly.
I'm just typing.
Right.
Pen is part
right.
of the of office office furniture.
Correct.
Office things. All right. So with that being said now, you mentioned Arima North, and that came to mind.
Yeah.
Two officers per school. Are you aware whether or not there are any other officers currently being trained to pick up duties along this line?
No, I'm not aware. And that's a very good point indeed, because you want to ensure that at all material times you have adequate police officers to be able to man all your schools. We also had an issue with regards to gender, because they are single-sex schools and they are co-ed schools. And we were saying in the instances where you have co-ed schools, for example, you want to ensure that there's male and female at the school. So that I know that that was the contention, because the DCP was looking at resources, if they have sufficient manpower. But of course, it doesn't seem as though that is an issue just yet. And I say it doesn't seem, because we intend to go on the streets as well, to go in our schools and visit the schools so that we can get firsthand information as to what is taking place with the progress or lack of progress of this exercise, of this program.
Because what I'm thinking, when you look at the Arima North, and I'm familiar with the Arima North Secondary School, also El Dorado's East and West.
Right.
These are huge compounds.
Of course.
And these compounds they expand to the back where it's a kind of grassy area, like a forested area to the back, especially Rima North, Eldo, the foothills of the mountains and so forth. So persons can come and breach any part of the perimeter. Mm-hmm. So if you have two officers, exactly where are these officers stationed? Are they in the guard booth with the MTS officers? Are they patrolling the compound? Are they sufficient enough that if a brawl takes place on Block E?
Right.
And then the home ec block walking,
right,
they're going to reach in time to stop some or to curtail the infraction.
But remember that the police officers are not to replace the existing security mechanisms in our schools. We have our security officers, in many instances MDS. We also have our safety officers as well on the school compound. And we have the teachers and, of course, the principal. So the police officers cannot be all places at all times, for example. So that the MTS officers, school safety officers, our teachers or deans, etc., are also playing their role as well. So that if there is need to bring in the presence of the police officer, and you are right, they shouldn't be in a classroom locked away or in the air-conditioned building. They're supposed to be roaming and patrolling the compound, the perimeter of the compound, in and out to ensure that the school is safe and secured.
I think two officers is not enough. I would say three minimum. I would go four. Four officers.
But based upon the size of the school,
I would say four. In some instances, maybe three or two. But I would say between three and four minimum needed, depending on the high and the risk of the school as well. Mm-hmm. All right. Outside of that, you mentioned the MTS.
Yes.
Does the NPTA have any insight as to the roles and functions of the MTS officers?
And that's a very good question. We are looking into that as well, so much so that we even want to be able to meet with the MTS chairman and, of course, the board, so that we are able to understand exactly what the roles and functions are. Because some MTS officers think that their only responsibility is the infrastructure, the plant, and that they have no dealings at all with, let's say, searches, for example, or disciplining or trying to address indiscipline in our schools. And we take a different view, because you are placed there to protect plant and people, as it were. So that whilst you are looking at the security and the safety of the school compound, the school infrastructure, you also have a duty of care, in our mind, to the students and the safety and security also of the students.
We can't negate what is in your mind. That is something, with all due respect, we can't negate that. However, mm-hmm. are we aware whether or not these officers would be trained in conflict resolution?
Right.
One, when the government engaged MTS in terms of contracts being awarded for security officers, were there a list of responsibilities expected to be carried out by the officer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is something that we need to find out. What was the arrangement between MTS
correct.
And government?
And it is precisely that why we want to meet with the MTS chair and, of course, the executive to understand the roles and functions and to make sure that we ourselves as parents are happy, comfortable with what their roles and functions are. I would also want to posit that the presence of the police officers should assist our MTS officers as well with regards to proper handling of our school students as well, so that whilst the police officer would not be there forever or ad infinitum, we want them to be able to pass on some of the training and organize special training as well for these MTS officers.
And that's the point, That's the point, because it took a minute for the current commission of police and the current administration recognizing the severity, the fragility of these young minds, these impressionable students, the fact that we are dealing with adolescents, we're not dealing with adults.
Correct.
And they had a special training inaugurated with
correct.
These officers.
Right?
Hello, good morning. Hello? Hello, good morning. All right, 625-2257 and 627-3223. If you wish to make a comment, suggestion, or even ask a question, this is the forum for it. And you can send a WhatsApp to 306-1065. Now, would the NPTA, when you engage with the relevant stakeholders, the call is back again. Let's see. Hello, good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Pleasant Morning. How are you doing? I have a very good topic. I work MTS security for 29 years. I'm retired now.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman speaking there, he going like a kind of one-sided. Because of the fact that he only want to know the rules and the function of the security. What about the security benefit since 2013? Kamala gave me the last back pay. since that we again nothing. You had to say, you see the officers and them working under stress, boy. They working under stress. What's my the money so small? And you know sometimes you requested three minimum, three security. Sometimes security, three security in a school, and the next location down there nobody can come out. They come and they take one from here, they take two from here. They sometimes they leave one alone on a compound. So all these things you have to see. You have to speak both sides. You can't be only want to know the function and role of the officer, and you have to make sure they patrol. And no, they frustrating the officers. This present CEO on the Lennox Raton, he cares nothing about the security. He don't take complaint. He don't want to know where the officers and them have family, and the officers and them frustrated over this back pay thing. Since the last time, I'm telling you again, 2013, they have back pay for them. Look, this is 2025. They have back pay for the officers and them, and they're only getting the money, and they busting up the money between themselves. This is exactly what I am talking from. I was working in the inside, you know. I was working in the course, so I have an idea as to what it is going on in there.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Tell me.
Were you a security officer?
I was a retired corporal, yeah.
You retired as a corporal. Did any one of our nation's schools at any point in time in your career?
I work in all the schools.
Pause. That's it.
Not to talk.
All right. So let me ask you, what was the responsibility told to you when you enter the school compound, when you get on sentry on duty, this is expected of you? What was that responsibility? What did it tell you is your job function?
Well, it has, it is right now in the, like in Eldo Blue, for example, it have about four officers there. One on sentry. When you go there, then you're getting your function. Now, the company expect you to be on regular patrol title. It have a sentry man, and it have somebody to man the gate. It have a corporal in charge. The corporal does be in Eldo Blue and Eldo Gray. There's a back and forth. So they everybody have the function. They leave one man alone to patrol the whole school, one of them on gate, and one of them on sentry. No, it's unfair. It's on one man alone in a big brawl, they will beat you very, very bad. Four or five students will beat you bad. Mm-hmm. You have to have at least about two or three, if you understand what I'm saying, patrolling the compound so that they could handle situations. It have some dangerous places in Eldo Blue that the officers afraid to go.
Well, so, all right.
By themselves.
Were there any extra training given to you in your tenure in terms of conflict resolution?
Yes, they have training. Sometimes we go to the barracks and the officers and them will talk to us and tell us in situation. Well, you see, you can't plan for nothing. You have to handle things on the spur of the moment. You can't plan to say, well, if a brawl start, no. It's according to the situations and according to the environment there, and how much children and how much.
Well, I beg to differ.
Then you can handle, right?
I beg to differ because. If we are training, hypotheticals must be a part of your training. You must be told, well, listen, in this instance, if this happens,
right.
there must be created situations because we are not living in a dummy world.
Sure.
We are living in a world where we know what can happen. So if it's five students, this is how you approach. They tell you. So
they tell you. Fair enough, they tell you. But all situations is not the same.
Got you.
All situations. You might meet a little brawl inside the toilet. You understand? It's different from if you meet a brawl in the savannah.
All right. So were there a mixture of female security officers among you, or can you say
Yes.
So all schools would have a female security officer as part of the four.
Not all.
So there are some instances where they are only male, and if a female gets into a brawl, if female is it's a challenge. All right.
You can't hold them. You watch me. You can't hold them down because first thing they will say. I mean, excuse the language. They say that you touch them up. You touch certain parts of them. and all this mm-hmm, kind, and mm-hmm. you the officer could get in trouble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So they have to plan out this thing. MTS have the all watch me. I'm speaking Roy. All them fellas and them studying. They them studying who in school. You could go and tell the CEO Lennox Rutland thing. It have two in school and they take one and they leave one here. Nothing concerned that he only just studying the money coming in.
All right. Thank you.
I hear the concerns, of course, and of course the negotiation aspect of it that has to be dealt with of course.
With the unions and the powers. That has nothing to do with us.
Certainly.
Yeah, but so, I understand.
Yes, of course we do. Yeah.
And I mean, some startling revelations there.
Yeah, as well. Yeah.
And, you know, he mentioned the CEO and allegedly.
Right.
Studying money, allegedly. we don't know that. But yeah, I will tell you, I have done some research. I myself, in my very, very early days in getting into the work market, into working, into the world of work, I
did a stint
as a security.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At the time when I got into that security role,
right,
it was at the Royal Bank Estate Police, which was a dignified organization.
I remember, always well dressed, always neatly dressed.
In blue and black.
I remember those
distinguished.
Days.
Distinguished.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I fortunately never wore the uniform. I was always a plainclothes officer.
Oh, you were.
And I was based in the bank.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
and okay. I remember at the time, they were a well-respected
of course,
group of men.
Yeah, definitely.
Trained by members of the Defense Force.
Good.
I went through that grueling training.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, it came a time when you would have seen this respected body, this group that was highly respected, at a chicken and chips outlet.
Oh. The same officer.
The same Royal Bank Estate Police at a chicken and chips outlet. And when the contract came, the powers that be at the time took only three branches.
Oh.
They didn't want all.
Right.
Because they felt it was degrading a bit to the officers.
Right.
But they take the money.
Of course.
And they place the officer
in the establishment.
In these three.
Right, yeah.
I wouldn't call these areas, were three establishments
that
officers had to endure.
Yeah.
After a dignified way of training.
Yes, to deal
with, because, I mean, when you looked at them back then, and they walk into to that bank, you would feel, you know, the officers could almost pass as a teller.
Well,
they were so polite. Yeah, we were so trained.
Right,
we understood.
Yeah.
It was a different kind of training. I mean, the man that convinced the bank at the time came from the Canadian Mountain Branch.
Oh, see no more.
The uniform pattern.
Right, Canadian
Mountain Branch.
So that was the model. Actually.
That was the model.
Great.
So
he
convinced the bank that we no need to subcontract these. We could have them internal.
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Own these officers.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then they went on. He went on to take external contracts.
But again, bottom line, the dollars, you know. Dollars. Cents, correct.
And then
exactly.
I saw another officer, outside of that job, moved on to another company where I was a rapid response driver.
Okay.
I observed contracts being handed, accepted by the company.
Right.
And I remember dropping off two, three men, and I watching the location them had to spend the night, and I saying to myself, what is, and I did that job for 3 weeks.
Got you.
Just
3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and I dropped off these men, and I saying, wow.
The conditions.
I ain't even seen a toilet.
Excuse me.
As a matter of fact, one was by a supermarket in El Dorado.
Right.
All right, that supermarket's still there.
Right.
And he was placed in the... There was a shelter.
Okay.
The way the supermarket, the layout of the grocery is.
Right.
But...
Facilities? None.
When I came out, I walked around, I looked. Right.
But what's the duty of care then for the employer vis-a-vis?
Just to make sure I don't know. There was no duty of care executed other than collecting the dollars.
Ridiculous.
Because the officer had to stay there.
Right.
Until 6 the next morning.
Wow.
And I wondered if he had to relieve himself where he was going.
Right, correct.
There were no facilities. No. And hear what I'm saying in the office. But he's a man. He could...
Excuse me? Doesn't matter.
He could relieve himself at his side.
Right. No. Obnoxious.
That is disgusting.
It is.
Disgusting. So I hear the plight of that former officer. I hear him. But unfortunately...
But the issue as well that you were raising is that there has to be rules and responsibilities of the officers. And when you were placed at Royal Bank and, of course, public response, you did have your rules and responsibilities clearly delineated.
That's
so you understood what you had to do.
And that's the point. When it looks at the schools, we want to come down on the MTS officer, but he's correct.
Sure.
You're looking at these secondary schools and these students end up in a brawl.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seven girls fighting.
Yeah.
And Tosca is the one patrolling. And she had to go and stop this fight with
that's
these right. seven girls. Yep, she's the only female officer.
That's right.
The man make a good point.
Correct.
Where is her backup? Where is his backup?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because some of these students will cough you down like big
of
man.
Of course. Yep.
Feeling a cheer like big man.
You have to consider all those issues. Yeah.
I implore you strongly.
Sure.
And I'll give you a homework last
Of course, the same as well.
Come back next week, Wednesday, God's will.
We want to meet with MTS. Exactly.
Tell us what is the roles and duty of care responsible MTS. Handout to these MTS officers.
Correct.
Make that call.
Definitely.
Make that
so.
Call.
Definitely.
Find out for us. I leave that to you as
sure.
the
sure,
professional.
Sure.
And any departing words you would like to bestow upon the other PTAs in terms of dealing with indiscipline in schools, if they have to, parent teachers associations across Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, we want to ensure that we have our PTAs up and running, and we are working on that when we come back into office next term, because I'm not sure if you're aware, we do have our national elections for the PTA on the 1st of November.
Wow.
So that when we
you're
come
going
back
up?
In office, of course.
Make sure you go up, eh? We'll lose our joy here.
I'm here. Very good. Very
just
good.
You know.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You see going with Martin Lumpkin.
That's right. So we want to ensure that in our next term, in our next iteration, that we can address some of these violent situations in our schools via our PTA units and their training as well that they will offer to the parents.
Well said.
Yeah.
And I second that as well. So, folks, it has been a very animated and spirited
Indeed.
Conversation
yeah.
this morning. Just to recap, I had Christmas List very early this morning.
Oh,
he is in Toronto. And it was a revelation, boy.
Wow.
A revelation when he said who was responsible for his arrest, his charges. He called the name. It's on his page. Okay, Christmas List Raw. He said it. It's there. Y'all can look at it. Don't ask me to call the people's name. I'm not doing that. But it's there. So you all can check it out. Of course, following that, we went into conversations as to whether you have any faith in the judiciary of Trinidad and Tobago. And then the NPTA speaks.
Sure.
Of course, President Walter Stewart, as per usual, here with us, unless he's on a plane going somewhere, which these days I ain't lying, but you just get tickets like a Fed. But
frequent flyer.
Yeah, frequent flyer. But I ain't lying, boy. 1 minute, yeah, you know you Barbados. You know you here, Barbados. You the regional NPTA president,
boy.
You the regional Parent Teachers Association president. And you know, that's a good thing. You all should get together, you know.
But we have a regional
body
as well. And we do have, I'm the second vice president. Ramatali is the first vice president. We have a general secretary from Trinidad. So we do have.
Beautiful.
Original.
And all the best in
thank you.
The November 1st.
Sure.
That's a Saturday.
Yeah, it is.
Are elections on Saturday, man?
Yeah, regular. First Saturday November is always
it's always
one of delegates. Yeah.
And then,
we don't have it in the week at all. We'll ensure that all the parents could come out as well. No working
you want
parents.
To seek your votes.
Of course.
So you're campaigning?
Of course I am.
You want to see our campaign message quick?
No, that's fine. But thanks for the opportunity as always. Thank you.
It's a wrap for me here.
Yeah.
I'll catch you guys tomorrow. Another spirited and animated morning rumble as well. Coming up next is Tosca Martinez. And no doubt she's going to be getting deep into the conversations with you this morning and taking it from a woman's perspective. And maybe on a lighter note, depending, but she's aggressive this morning. And she's coming out there. Oh, God, I'm just joking. Is she not coming?
You see,
he knows something that we don't know.
I mean,
exactly.
Serious. She is a no-nonsense person.
Which is good.
Which is what I mean. When I say aggressive, it's no-nonsense.
Got you.
She not putting up with no nonsense.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. So don't call with your nonsense. You will talk to tone.
Yeah.
You will talk to tone. Tosca. All right, folks. She's a no-nonsense. You're coming wrong, Tosca, with no-nonsense. She like, you know, I listened to her yesterday and day before. She's not easy. She's one of those that will deal with you very straightforward and respectfully. She have a way she just talk to them too, wait. Real calm and nice and they just get the point. And so guys, the morning rumble is ended.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.